destined to them.
Today is someday, and someday we're building a rebellion.
I love to build things.
But I don't like that intro.
That's okay.
Hello there, everyone. Real quick, before we get into the top of this thing, I just want to say I share a really long story. It's like a good 30 minutes at the beginning of this. It's really funny, so you should listen to the whole thing. But if you're here to listen for Andor, skip forward like 30 minutes. And after our conversation, there's going to be like a 15-minute interview with Adria Ajorna, who plays Bix Kaline in Andor. So do that. And then if you have fun and this is your first time listening, go back and listen to the first half because it's really funny. It's a good story. But there you go. This is your public service announcement before the show starts. Hello there and welcome to Pink Milk, your Star Wars podcast for us super fans.
And those of us who are forced to listen to them.
Today is someday, and someday we're flipping board tables over like we're Teresa Giudice.
Well, I am from Jersey.
Are you ready, Thomas?
I'm ready.
Drink up.
Drink up.
This is Red 5. I'm going in.
Hello there, Pop Pop.
Hello there.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Great. How's the cookie?
I was trying to hide it. I thought I had a few more minutes before we went on, but...
Then I sucker punched you.
Mm-hmm. It's a granola bar and it's really good.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to Pink Milk. If this is your first time here, drink up. If this is your second or third time here... Drink up. I'm your host, Brian. With me, as always, is my better half and your better host, Thomas.
Hello, hello, hello.
Thomas.
Yes, sir.
As the resident Star Wars super fan and you the casual fan.
Yes.
No, me. How did I do on my casual fan viewing of your super fan viewing of The Real Housewives? It took me a second to get Teresa Giudice's name out, but...
You did good. You did good.
That prostitution whore!
Oh my lord, that was back in the days where we both watched that episode, those shows.
Oh my god, I think I've shared this before on the podcast, but this could be your first time viewing it. This is not a Real Housewives podcast, even though I've had the pleasure of hanging out with Christina Ariel a few times, who's also a Real Housewives super fan.
Oh.
And we have talked about super... Oh my god, you know what we should do? I should see if she'd be interested in coming on The Real Housewives to talk about the Real Housewives, and you and Christina can talk about The Real Housewives, and I'll be forced to listen.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure if I'd know that much. I wouldn't say I'm a super fan. I like some franchises, but I wouldn't say I like them all. I don't have time for all that. Oh, you're looking at me. I do not... All right, I only watch OC, Beverly Hills,
Dubai.
Well, yeah, I haven't. It's the tough one to get through. Salt Lake City, because there's a lot of garbage going on there.
Also,
other than that,
Up and Adam. I watch Up and Adam all the time. I hear about the Housewives all the time.
I used to watch
it
more before my husband told me that I couldn't watch it any longer.
Don't forget about the, like, this is the house where, like, we are churners. We learned this term, churners, for streaming services. Nope, had to have Peacock because this is the worst show I've ever seen, but I watch every one of the ex-housewives clubs or whatever, and they were staying in your mom's palace in somewhere in New York.
The Berkshires.
Okay, there you go. And that lady does look like your mother.
She does.
Anyways.
I love how you've hung on to that one now for two shows, and it was only 7 episodes, and they were really bad, but okay.
Oh, I didn't see a single one, so I don't know.
As a matter of fact, the first one, it was their weekend away or whatever it's called.
I felt like every
time... I didn't even finish it. It was that bad.
I feel like every time I put on Peacock, which I only watch Peacock for...
I'm watching Yellowstone.
Unsolved Mysteries, but I have assigned Tom Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell, because if you don't know...
She was a whore.
Because Tom is Jesse Spano. in mm-hmm. every way. Like, legit, you're Jesse Spano for sure. I see worse. Jesse Spano and I see The Housewives is the main thing. So I just okay. assume that you're watching it all the time.
Okay.
When I'm not around.
I like to watch shows. I don't have to think.
Mm-hmm. My chewing gum. So anyways, this is not a Real Housewives podcast. This is a Star Wars podcast. And speaking of Star Wars podcasting.
Yes.
We're also gay.
We are.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to take a quick minute to say thank you to Spaces, our friends.
Spaces.
Over at Spaces, powered by Hornet. They're sponsoring the show. So thank you, Spaces.
Spaces.
If you're queer and interested in having an online community to talk about Star Wars without any of the nasty trolls, head on over to Spaces. So if you go to the links below, you can hit Spaces.
Spaces.
And join us there for talking queer Star Wars talk. It's a good time. It's a good time.
Good time.
And also, if you are a first-time viewer and you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest Star Wars podcast I've ever heard. Probably not going to come out of your mouth, but I will say.
Why not? Why would it not?
Because I don't know if it's the greatest Star Wars podcast ever, but you know what I will say about
it? Why is it not?
What I will say about it, because we're like, what's that actor's name? When did the movie come out? Oh, I don't know the person's name. Yeah,
that's what 99.9% of the people out there.
Yeah, but they're not listening to this because they're listening to other podcasts that are not about Star Wars.
Like Housewives?
Like Housewives. But what I will tell you about Pink Milk is you will never laugh. I don't think there is another
Star Wars. You'll never laugh?
I don't think there's another Star Wars podcast that you laugh and have as much of a good time as we do here.
This is true. We have a good time.
Ru Palps might be up there.
But who?
Ru Palps.
Ru Palps. Who's that?
Ru Palps Pod Race. It's a playoff of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh.
It's pretty good. It's pretty funny. But we're not 20-somethings, so we don't have that 20-something chaotic energy. We have 40s and 50s chaotic energy, except for when Chase is here. Chase is 27 on After Dark. Anyways, if you're interested in Pink Milk and supporting queer content, make sure you head on over to Patreon. Also, link down below. $5 a month gets you a show suggestion every month. We do monthly commentaries. This month, I'm going to be sitting with Emma talking about the Attack of the Clones, my second favorite Star Wars movie of all time. I'm very stoked to talk about it. Also, we have a really great Discord that is chock full of amazing, wonderful people. And the Steam Queens really are the greatest part of Star Wars fandom. So if you want to be around some fun people that are not troll-like or mean, or if you have a different opinion than someone else, you can go to our Discord and you can be a Rey Nobody and a Rey Skywalker, and you can all get along swimmingly because that's the way it should be.
Swimmingly.
So thank you, Steam Queens. We love you. Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Did you miss me?
I really did miss you. Do you know why?
No.
You don't know why?
Mm-mm.
Because you were away.
Yes, I am straight from bougie city of Hollywood, stayed along the Star Walked Hall of Fame. That was not like I thought it was on the TV, because those Hollywood stars, they're covered in piss, Thomas. They're covered in piss.
Seriously?
Oh my God, there's pee everywhere. It was crazy.
What is with this California?
Look, I had a great time. But Hollywood was not what I was anticipating. Mm-hmm. It's... You know what? Okay. Okay, okay, okay.
Okay.
It's just not as glamorous as I thought it was.
Really?
Yeah, I think what happens, and maybe this is where Bravo came from to bring them back to the Housewives, but I feel like everything on Bravo has like a glitter lens on it. Okay. I don't know what it is. There's this wash on Real Housewives shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Hollywood has that wash on TV that somehow they clean it up and make it very glamorous. I did not find it to be remotely glamorous.
Really?
Nope. It was glamorous. When I was on the red carpet.
Oh.
So I was in Hollywood for red carpet premiere.
Red carpet premiere?
Of Andor.
Cool.
There's one word all I could say to myself over and over and over, and everyone that I was with were like, how do you feel? You'd like to know what that word was? Stupid.
Stupid. You felt stupid?
That's all I know. It is not articulate. It's not glamorous. Maybe I did belong.
And not in a word we let our kids say.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I do belong in Hollywood because I'm like... Not glam, but all I could say was like, this is so stupid. Why am I here? I was so overwhelmed. It was so amazing. I'm so appreciative, but I'm like, this is just like.
So you're saying stupid, fantastic.
Yeah, like fantastic. Okay. But like, why am I here? That's how I felt. I mean, I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase and I slayed that runway.
Slay.
Slay. It was great. Yeah. Can you believe it? I've been sitting on this for like a month, knowing it was going to go and not being able to tell anyone.
Me too. It was killing me.
It's pretty exciting.
And the buildup. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait to hear this, folks.
Yeah. So where do we start with this? What do we do?
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start it when you got the news and what ensued directly after.
Okay. So if you've been listening for...
Wait, let me say it. Frantic searches on the internet for cool clothing because it is now a... And we're a lot of things in life, but cool's not one that I would ever call myself. My husband, yes, but me, no.
I don't think I'd call myself
frantic
cool
searches on the internet for the style world premiere Hollywood runway clothes.
Because I was going with Chase, and Chase is like... Chase is...
A gregarious fashionista.
Fashion.
This is what I used to call you when I first met you. A gregarious fashionista.
Yeah, that was 15 years ago, Pop.
You still look great.
Thank you. 15 years ago and...
You're just gregarious now.
Yeah. I don't even know if I'm gregarious anymore. I'm like holed up in the suburbs in this big palatial house with like poop smells coming out of every toilet and unflushed toilets everywhere and like daily grabs of the plunger.
That's because you have three sons.
You know what?
Thanks for the visual, though.
You know what? Parents who listen to this.
You know what we're talking about.
You know what we're talking about. Never in my life did I ever think I'd use a plunger as much as I do as a dad to three boys.
I don't even think I had a plunger prior to having these children.
And it's like every day.
I mean, who stuffs that much toilet paper down a toilet bowl? I don't get it.
I don't know. So anyways, Okay, to go back to the beginning, yeah. If you've been listening for any amount of time, I mean, all of this, I'm sorry, there is no other word other than stupid.
Stupid, fantastic. Like, so, I want to just qualify this because I know what you mean.
It's so just crazy. A lot has changed for us after Star Wars Celebration. Star Wars Celebration was also just stupid. Like, how did we get on the podcasting stage? But oh my, I mean, I am so grateful for all of these things. I'm just still kind of overwhelmed because, you know, I am a believer that... In all honesty, I've never failed at anything I put my mind to. Just hasn't happened. But I have tried other creative endeavors in my life to varying degrees of success. But Pink Milk is probably, you know, people talk about art, Thomas, art.
Art.
And I feel that Pink Milk is so quintessentially me. Like, I get to talk about every single, not talk about, no, I do talk about, but I share, like, every part of Brian. And we've been talking a lot lately, like, and I've been talking with some of my friends, and maybe this is like trauma or whatever, but like, I have always been a very compartmentalized person. Like, I have each segment and they are all in their own closet and I never like shared them together. And I never really had friends that crossed those different closets. And then I turned 40 and started Pink Milk.
You're 40?
Used to be.
that's true.
Get to be like 100% fully myself. And I love After Dark because I get to be a side of myself that I can't really be with you because you're not that way. And quite frankly, some of the ways I behave on After Dark embarrass the hell out of you.
Insert silence here.
So anyways, the fact that I get to be all of these things with some degree of success and people seem to enjoy it, just like, honestly, it's meant the world to me because I don't know, I just feel for the first time, and honestly, in outside of you, for the first time, like, I feel that like people know Brian and like Brian, not parts of Brian or just the totality. And so it's like, it's very overwhelming when I think of all these opportunities that have come from 40 years of living and ever being fully myself to a all the time. Feels great. And I hope my children learn that. And actually, it's made me a better father because now I can really say, just be yourself wherever you are and you will be the most successful.
I'm very proud.
Thank you. It's great. So anyways, a lot of things changed after Star Wars Celebration. I met lots of people. It was really great. And if you've been listening, you listen to our roundtables. I got invited to a roundtable discussion with all the stars of Andor, right? I've interviewed the writers and directors of Lego Summer Vacation. I spoke to Yvette Nicole Brown. All of these things that have like been opportunities given to me, and they're amazing. And that all led to one day open up an email saying I was invited to the red carpet world premiere of Andor.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I just remember reading it, and I just started laughing because, what's the word I'm going to use, Thomas?
Because it was stupid.
It was so stupid,
stupid exciting.
It was so stupid,
stupid fantastic.
I was like, oh my God. So anyways, yes. And then
it began.
I invited my dear friend Chase, because I love Chase. Chase and I really bonded over Celebration, and Chase put in so much work to help us get to Celebration. And without Chase and their amazing editing skills, I don't think we would have made the stage when we applied, all of those things. Chase and I spent all of our time together at Celebration together and like representing Pink Milk and working and networking and doing all the things and trying to meet everybody, you know? And it was a work event. I don't even know if we still had fun, but we treated it like work. And it was, so I just felt like, you know what? That's who I'm going to take. Because Chase was a big part of how we got here. So, anyways, Chase is a fashionista. Always looks great. So when I realized that happened, again, not a fashionista. I'm like, oh my God. So that's when the frantic searches for clothes came.
And they came fast and furious.
They did. They did.
Boxes started showing up in the house within days of things. Fashion shows ensued.
Well, then I found out. So then I was talking to my friends, Alex and Molly of Star Wars Explained. And Molly's going to go. And we all know Molly's like gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's going to turn it up to the nine. So I'm like, oh my God, the pressure. The pressure. I'm going to be hanging out with these people.
Insert more boxes from Amazon started arriving.
And like.
Then a big decision was made.
Yeah. I'm like, and oh my God, Pink Milk is like the gay podcast. I have to live up to the stereotype and look damn good.
So what do I need? I need a suit.
What?
Not just any suit.
I need a green suit with...
plaid.
Plaid green with lime green. And then I'm like, oh my God.
Not your mom and dad's plaid. I mean, it was stunning.
It was a really cool suit. It was very, very cool.
Except...
And then so it came in. Tom's like, I try it on. I'm feeling really good. Tom's like, no. It's too long.
It was too long. The jacket was too long.
I should play the voice clips from Chase and their partner, Blake, who are like, slay. Oh, my God. And Chase is just like, you know what? Possibly borderline insulting. I didn't know you had it in you, Brian. You say you're not.
But there was so one good thing I liked. I liked the pants. I thought the pants looked fantastic.
The pants were great. And so anyways, but Tom was like, it's all too long. So, you know, Chase is just like, no. Go get it tailored. I'm like, oh my God, never in a million years would I think to get something tailored because, again, not a fashion person.
So we take the whole family and we go down to the tailor.
I get to the tailor. The lady's like, what shoes you're wearing with? Oh, they're not here. Wait, you're going to get something tailored and you don't have the shoes that you're going to wear? It's like, oh, I don't know about these things. I just want them. And then it was, I'm like, I want them here. I wanted them a little higher because I had.
And she's looking at you like, no, the heel's this big.
And they were. They were some big heels. They are silver rhinestone-studded boots. They are like, oh, they were.
Imagine my surprise when I saw that box.
They were red carpet worthy. So anyways, I go get the suit tailored. A week later, I pick it up.
Oh, wait.
It's the Friday before I go.
No, you forgot the best part.
Okay.
The tailoring cost more.
Oh, yeah, than no, the girl, suit. I'm getting there. The suit...
We don't need to talk numbers.
Yeah,
but.
Okay. Yeah. No, no, nope. I need to say $148 to get that suit tailored.
Yeah. It hurt the day and it hurts even more here in the back.
$148. You know what my friend Chase said? Oh my God, that's such a good deal.
Oh my God. I have had expensive suits tailored and I have never, ever, ever paid that. And I mean, we're talking work business suits.
Maybe that was the 90s. I don't know.
It was in the 90s.
So anyways, picked it up. Looked great. It looks so good. I had a mesh pink shirt on underneath. I was wearing a harness under. It was like, I felt like I was this like 70s punk.
It looked great. It really did.
It was like, I felt like David Bowie, like punk rock suit, mm-hmm. but also this, right? So the day of the event comes.
No.
Uh-oh.
The night before, you're asking me, hey, stick my suit pants in I'm like, no, honey, no, because you don't want to have them wrinkled.
You just paid to have them.
You just paid all this money, dry clean, you know, blah, blah. You don't want wrinkles. Carry it. You're carrying the suit jacket anyway. Carry it.
So I bring it in on a hanger. It's all good. Get up at like 3:30 in the morning because Tom and I, you know what? I'm very proud of this. In almost, we have like a month away. Like we can start saying 15 years now, right? We're close enough. So in 15 years, if we're both in town, we have never missed a morning of coffee together ever. It's very important to us. So I get up at 3:30 in the morning so we could like have our coffee together and like spend some time. So we do those things. I get in the car, head off to the airport. Everything's fine. I call home. Hey, I made it safely. Let me call you once I check in and all those things. Okay. Go check in my bags. I park far away because it's a little cheaper.
Insert, now the kids are getting up and our morning routine is beginning. I'm rushing around making lunches and getting kids that are turning into teenagers who don't want to get out of bed up, and everybody's ready, eating breakfast, getting their last little bits of lunch done. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and I'm going to read the voicemail here soon because, sorry, everyone, but it's the sweetest thing anyone's ever done. Okay, so I get to the airport, check in all my bags. Everything's great. I'm heading up the escalators. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just need to make sure everything's here. Y'all, pants, we're off the hanger. My $148 pair of pants.
Whole Taylor thing.
Gone.
Gone.
So I'm having a mild meltdown. Oh my God. Wait, hold on. We've even forgot all this. The week before, I started bleaching my hair blonde because I had a whole look.
Yes.
Like, this is not something Brian Berry does. But you know what?
This was 4 weeks of prep here.
I was going to a red carpet representing Pink Milk. So you will understand. And yes, I'm going to use this word because only our people are allowed to use this word. But I was going on a red carpet for Star Wars. It's probably going to be the only time in my entire life that I'm going to do this. So I was going to go as a super F-A-G. Again, only we can use that word. But that's what I was going to do. I was going to be so damn fabulous, and I was going to look great, and I was going to be the gayest thing that's ever walked that red carpet. Was my mission, right? I was like, you know what? Every single picture, because in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, the paparazzi is going to be there. I'm going to be in the covers of Vogue, but I'm going to be gay. It's going to be gay Star Wars, damn it. Okay, so I bleached my hair. And I had been cutting my own hair. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know. You'll also know that all of gay Twitter, Star Wars Twitter, is like, what are you doing cutting your own hair in the backyard in a window with regular scissors? I'm like, well, because that's how I roll. And it looked great. And so the Monday before I left, or Tuesday, whatever it was, Tuesday, I was leaving the next day. I went to trim my hair. Well, a little misguided with my buzzers. Went and shaved right down the middle of my head.
Could not be fixed. I mean, could not be fixed. Nope. I'm like, oh my God, if it was on the side, we could do something. Yep. But right down
the middle.
Center.
So, yep. Okay, so no more blonde hair. I had to like buzz my hair, which is fine. Like, I rock this hairstyle a lot. Mm-hmm. I like it. I think I look good in it.
You do.
But it was not what I wanted for the thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have 90s throwback, bleach blonde hair, messy hairdo, all of it. But I handled it well. Even Tom's in the back going, you know what, babe? You're handling this really well. And I'm like,
cutting it off with a buzzer, putting it in a plastic bag.
In the backyard.
But that's but when we buzz our hair, we do it outside. I'm like, in the backyard.
But it's all good. I'm like, it's just hair. It's fine. At least it looks good. Like, yes. At least, imagine if I never shaved my head. It probably would have been a meltdown. But like, I'm used to this. So, okay. So, back at the airport, going up the escalators, no pants.
I get the call.
I'm like, oh my God. Okay, thank God I got there early. So then Tom's like, you got to start backtracking every step. I'm like, Thomas, I don't think you understand. I went to the extended parking lot. I hopped on a SkyTrain. I went up an elevator. Then I went down like three sets of like, I'm like, oh my God. So I'm trying to go back. I'm looking for the pants everywhere. Go all the way back to the car thinking maybe they fell off in the car. Nope. I'm retracing my steps. I go back to the SkyTrain. I wait for the doors to open. I'm like pushing people out of the way. It was like, out of my way. I wanted to get in the exact car that I was in. Nope, not there. Go down the same escalator, all of it. I asked the little information booth person. I was like, hey, did anyone turn in any pants? And she's just like laughing at me like, you're so dumb.
What did they look like? Oh, they were green.
They look like this because I still had the jacket. So she was nice. And I'm like, okay, so where's lost and found? I go back downstairs. I go down all the same. They are nowhere. They are nowhere. I am having a meltdown. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I'm being nice to my husband because I feel like I'm just yelling at him because I'm just like so stressed out.
No, you were not.
I was so stressed. I get back to the self-check-in thing at the, shout out to Southwest Airlines because a group of planes that I never take. I never fly Southwest because I don't.
Just doesn't usually go where we go.
Yeah, but they were amazing. So I go up, and this is self-checkout, and the lady's like, oh my God, why are you back? You were just here. I was like, one, how do you remember me? Because most of the time you go to those things, people are like, thank God these new computers are here because I don't have to talk to anybody, and they're usually not very friendly. She was amazing. So I tell her, she's like, oh my God. She asks every single person that was working the baggage check if she saw them. She went and looked in her lost and found. Nope, couldn't find them. She was so nice.
That is awesome.
So then I go downstairs and I go talk to Lost and Found isn't opened yet. And meanwhile, and honestly, people, they wouldn't have been there by then. Like there's no way they would have been transported back to Lost and Found. It wasn't enough time. They're sitting on the back of somebody's golf cart somewhere or something, right? But then I see the Southwest like information booth. I go in. The girls are so nice. There's like four ladies and I tell them what happened. And this one lady was like, I don't know what it was. She was so sincere. She's like, oh my God. And she's like, that suit is amazing. I was like, yes. It would have been even more amazing if I had the matching pants. So she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, honestly, I'm not really supposed to tell anybody, but I'm going to a world premiere.
In Hollywood.
And look, I'm wearing sweats right now, and I think I had a tank top on. I'm like, this is how I normally, and a baseball cap. This is how I look. This is my life. Anyways, she gets on the walkie-talkie, and I don't remember the person's name, so she's on the walkie, hey, Tom, and Tom's like, hey, and she's like, oh my God, I love that you're here. I need you to do me a favor. I have someone here who lost the pants. Can you get on the walkie and ask everybody if they found a pair of pants? Because it's like 5 a.m, so the airport is not like jam-packed with staff. Mm-hmm. Everyone on the walkie-talkies, like 20 people, nope, I haven't seen any. She coordinated this entire thing. I was like, oh my God, like, this is so, like, no one does this. You go in somewhere, nope. But they're just like, get out. I don't want to do it. That's how most people work. Anyways, then she I get off the plane and I'm like, okay. It is what, there's nothing I can do about this now. Yes.
Shout out to Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport and everybody who works there. Oh my God, like, truth above be told, and beyond. They really, every time we fly through there, people are great.
But this was like above and beyond. This was so nice. So then, you know, I get on the plane, I do my thing. Come down. Later that afternoon, I got back to my phone and there was a voicemail from Kathy saying, hey, this is Kathy. We spoke this morning about your pants. I have walked to every single lost and found in the airport to see if I could find your pants. Because I'm like, if I find them, we'll overnight them. We'll do something. I'm so excited for you. She's like, but I have not seen them. Here's my number. I park in that parking lot every day for work. And I know your premiere was on Thursday. So if I see them in the morning, I'm going to overnight them.
That was so awesome.
And like, here's my number. I was like, who does that? It was the nicest thing. Kathy does that. Yeah, I was like, oh my God. And then she's like, but I hope you had the greatest time. I was so overwhelmed with someone like that is so incredibly kind. I'm like, you know, it felt like one of those Humana commercials, you know, where they show like a really great clip and it's like human kindness. That's what I felt like.
Aww.
I felt like it was in a human kindness commercial. So... okay, I land in LA. I'm the first one there. I think I got there at 8. Chase didn't. And then, oh God, Chase has their own story. Chase doesn't get in. Well, supposed to be 2:30. Chase arrived.
It's a long story, huh?
I know. I'm sorry. I hope you're enjoying this. It's been 28 minutes.
Hey, you should try living it, people.
So then, anyways, I have to go shopping. Chase is like, just go to Zara. There's a Zara right there. I'm like, what?
Who?
Exactly. You know what Chase's response was? This is so Brian. I love you. Of course you don't know what Zara is. And I'm like, yep, still don't know. But I found it. I'm on Surrey, like the map, trying to find this place. And you know what? I have to say, I really liked it. Anyways, I found a whole new outfit, y'all. I was channeling George Michael. And I looked hot.
You did.
Not going to lie. I looked really hot. And in the end, it probably worked out. So you can go to Twitter and you can see our pictures.
So what's the moral of the story? Sometimes things happen and you don't understand why, but the things that work out for the better sometimes.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. And it was the will of the Force to lose my pants so I could look better on the red carpet.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah, long story, but it was really funny. And I was just like, but really the moral of the story is, if you have a suit in a bag and you're on the airport, tie a knot in the bottom of the bag so things can't fall out.
I mean, normally we would have had the correct bag, but we just were not prepared.
No.
Because normally you have it in a zipper bag, and I still stand behind not putting it in the suitcase. Because
but if it was in the suitcase, I wouldn't have lost it. But if it was if it was in the suitcase, I wouldn't have looked nearly as good.
There you go. Thank you.
I mean, the suit was great, y'all. It was great. I would have looked good.
And
it was
somebody's
green.
Somebody's really going to enjoy those pants.
If you're 5'4". And there's not a lot of 5'4 dudes.
And you had
there.
It even shortened in the leg because you had that high crystal boot. Is that right? What was it? Crystals? I don't know.
Those boots are sexy. Those boots were made for walking.
Yes.
And that's just what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, y'all, I get there and I don't really know what to expect. And I'm walking down the red carpet. You know what? Honestly, it was a whole amazing thing. I got to see Alden. I got to see my friend Gustavo from Triad of the Force. Nani I'd never met. It was all these people that I met at Celebration that I didn't think I was going to ever see again or in a really long time, right? And here we all are again. And then there's Tony Gilroy and Diego Luna. I'm not lying, like 5 feet away from me. And I was like, oh my God, this is just, what's the word, Thomas?
Fantastically stupid, fantastic.
It's just so stupid. I'm just like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then all of a sudden they start reading off these names from people that helped made the show. And then I turn around and there's Kathleen Kennedy.
Shoulder pads and all.
My shoulder pad queen, KK. Not going to lie, Thomas, this might be TMI, but I had to clinch because I was afraid I was going to lose my business.
Oh God. TMI.
But there she was. And then she was like very humble and she sat right back down and was like, I don't know. It was amazing.
Did she really have shoulder pads or is this something you've been saying
honestly,
forever for some reason?
I remember seeing her
once,
but I don't remember seeing her because I think I was so in shock and awe. And I turned around, I'm like, oh my God. Was that Kathleen Kennedy?
Is she tall? Is she short?
I really don't remember. It's like a fever dream.
Okay.
It was like a mirage. Did it really? Was it really even there? But it was. Uh-huh. And my friend Katrina got a picture with her in the lobby. I was like, oh, wow. I was. So anyways, it was very cool. So I've seen the first three episodes of Andor. And I love it. But before we get into it, Thomas.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break.
I've recovered from the length of that story now.
And we're back.
We're back.
Was it that bad of a story?
It was traumatizing. I'm not going to lie. I lived that story. It brought me literally right back. But hey, I'm glad it all worked out in the end and you looked fantastic. So.
No, thank you.
And you got a good story and sometimes those are priceless.
You know what?
I mean, I know I'll never let you forget it.
I don't think you will.
No, I won't.
Okay, so everyone, I'm very excited. I've seen the first three episodes of Andor. Tom has seen the first two episodes of Andor. And we're going to see episode 3 and 4 a little later today. But you know what? Honestly, we started it too late last night and we had to go to bed.
I'm not going to lie. I was so tired. It was really good, but we could not watch it on TV.
Yeah.
We could only watch it on the computer. So four people were huddled
around my little iPad.
And right across it said servingpinkmilk@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of tough to see. But it was...
You know, because there are jerks out there who will try to steal it.
Hey, I totally understand. I can't think of a better solution for all that. So this is, they've done the right thing.
I couldn't believe there was a few YouTubers. I'm not going to lie. This is so shady. Like, it was literally, okay, so we were under an embargo. Like, we can't review it until Tuesday. It's in the future. We're releasing this episode a day early so we can talk about it. Then we normally do, but we can't talk about it until Tuesday because no one wants to be a jerk. We were allowed, after the premiere, we were allowed to go on the internet, on our socials, and say, we saw it. We were allowed to share pictures of the premiere and all that stuff, right? But we were not allowed to review it until Tuesday, September 20th, the day before.
Okay.
We're under embargo. But then those like jerks on YouTube who try to get views started talking about it already. I'm like, oh my God, like you're given this opportunity to see all these things early and it's a privilege. And yes, it's, you know, Lucasfilm and Disney also wants people to talk about it and review it and do those things. But I'm like, really? And your listeners, you're going to ruin it for them. So anyways, it's awful. With that said, we're going to talk about a few things, but we're not going to review this because you probably have not seen it yet. And I don't want to be like a leaker and a spoiler because I just think that's kind of messed up. We're going to do like a brief overtone. And I'm really...
overtone?
I know. That's not the right word.
How about a review?
A review. There we go.
But not review.
But not a review.
Overview.
I'm going to share my feelings on the metaphor of this show because I have very strong feelings about what this is. And excellent. I'm going to bring it back to Star Wars Celebration. I'm going to bring it back to what Tony Gilroy said at the beginning of the thing. And then we will come back next week and Tom and I are going to give our reviews. So in the, for the future of this, husband and husband, the one you're listening to right now, we're going to review the episodes.
Review.
The week before. So our show will probably start coming out on Tuesday instead of Wednesdays because, you know, the show comes out on Wednesday. So we don't want to talk about the week before episode when you've probably already watched those. So anyways, here we go. And then after dark, we're going to talk about themes from each episode. That's how we're going to break this whole thing down to hopefully keep it interesting to our listeners so they don't have to listen to us just talk about the same thing over and over. Anyhow, what did you think? A brief overview. What are you feeling about the first two episodes?
I thought it was really good. I'm not going to lie. I had a tough time seeing it because of that, you know, the understandably so, you know, serving pink milk at gmail.com. Yeah. And it was small and the kids were huddled and they were excited about it. So I wanted them to have their moment. Figured, you know, I'm spoiled. So I'll go look at it on the big TV when it comes out. I mean, I guess, you know. It's true.
Yeah.
I don't usually watch things on a computer like that, you know. But, it seems like what I saw, there's a lot of giving background at this moment. So I'm waiting for it to kind of get going. But I'm excited. It's completely different. So it's like, I haven't seen anything like this before. No.
Love it.
And that is specifically talking about how it relates to Star Wars. Yeah. It's a whole new... It's all new, period. Yep. So.
I will say this, and I tweeted this out for my like kind of initial thoughts, and I stand by it very much. As a person who grew up with the OT, I remember
the original trilogy
when the prequels came out. Very much like the prequels redefined what Star Wars could be. They are very, very different than the original trilogy. And I feel that this show is as big and bold of a statement as the prequels were for what it's redefining what Star Wars can be. And I kind of wish this was the sequel trilogy had this level of boldness because I would have loved the sequel trilogy to come out and be like, nope, this is what Star Wars is now. No, this show is so good. It's like a slow build. Like you can tell. It's not a movie. It's not a movie where it's like bang, 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 bang. And I think
there'll be more episodes.
Yeah, there's 12.
Okay, good.
For season one. And they're like 40, 45 minutes apiece. So this is not The Mandalorian 25-minute, 22-minute episodes. Maybe there will be in the future, but the first four are not that. They're more like the length of Obi-Wan.
Well, this is why they're taking the time. They have to build it. They have to give the background so we know what they're talking about.
It is... But it is different. There is a few scenes. I mean, it's still Star Wars, but they are like way more adult than I was expecting to see. Carrie Fisher is famous for saying there are no bras in, or George Lucas is very famous of saying to Carrie Fisher, there are no bras in space, because she was not allowed to wear a bra in The New Hope. There's a shot where clearly bras are in space. And it took me back. It took me aback. I was like, okay, here we go. We see a pair of like lady underwear. And I was like, oh, okay, this is okay. Not going to lie. It was very jarring. I'm not saying it's horrible, but it was very jarring. And in episode 3, someone says the word shit. So that's what I mean by adult. But it just felt like not Star Wars of before, but it's Star Wars now. It's so good. So, the acting in this show is brilliant, and it is dark. It is. I'm very curious how the kids are going to like the show, and I feel like. I think this might be the first show that you, Thomas, are a super fan of.
Oh, thank you for letting me know that I'll be a super fan.
No, really, like, I know the kinds of shows you like, and I think this is the kind of shows you like, and you haven't seen episode 3 yet.
No.
I am really, 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 really happy that they're releasing it as a 3-episode series. So on the screeners that we have, you watch the 1 episode, and there's the credits at the end. It wasn't like that when we went and saw it. They played them back-to-back like one long movie. Which was real, honestly, it was beneficial. Mm-hmm. So I hope they do that. I don't think they're going to. My advice to you, if you watch this on Wednesday and you watch all 3 episodes back to back, literally stop it at the credits and just start the other one right away and try to get past the recaps. Cause it really helped a lot just seeing like an hour and a half movie, or an hour and 45 minute movie. And act 3, so episode 3, it's a banger.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Like everything that you see building up in the first 2 episodes comes to a head, and a lot of those things are resolved.
Okay.
And now you're like, oh, what in the world is the rest of the show about? So I'm really excited to see episode 4 because the first 3 episodes really are one little story. So I don't know. It's so great.
Awesome.
But let me get into my feelings about the show as a metaphor.
Let's talk about your feelings, Brian.
Honestly, y'all are going to really, really, really love it. Give the first 2 episodes, in all fairness, it is a very slow boil. Like, there is something, you know, the second the show starts. Oh my God. And we also go to the red light district in Star Wars. There are sex workers in Star Wars. I'm telling you, it's just very different. I mean, I was here for it. It was like, whoa. They're like people performing. If anyone's ever been to Amsterdam and has been in the red light district, there are sex workers working the bubbles. They're a bubble there, but they're like in the window giving you like sex workers in Star Wars, y'all.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. So, at the beginning, before it started, Diego Luna and Tony Gilroy, who's the writer and directed some of the episodes, I guess, but the writer and creator, Tony Gilroy, when Rogue One came out, no one really knows the whole story, but it was directed by Gareth Edwards, and there was massive reshoots at the end, and the Rogue One we know now is because of Tony Gilroy. He made the call that everyone was going to die, I guess. I don't know. So he created this show. And he said at the beginning that he wanted to thank Disney for supporting them, because they pushed the limits of what Star Wars could be and what Disney was willing to do. Right down, like I said, sex workers in Star Wars, there are definitely bras, there are underwear. The word shit can exist in Star Wars now. Like, and this is just the first 3 episodes, so Lord knows what's coming, right? But he said Disney really, like, supported them. And the reason I opened the show with Teresa Giudice's flipping of a conference board table is I feel very much...
It was a restaurant table.
No, not in my story.
But I'm in real life.
Yeah, it was in real life. So I have no basis of fact anywhere here. I'm just watching Star Wars Twitter. I go back to Star Wars Celebration and some of the conversations I heard, like, on the Attack of the Clones stage, where Matt Woods said he really missed he missed George Lucas being there. He was on Celebration floor. You know there are Disney execs there. And he was like, You know, really, I've been with Lucasfilm for so long, and I really miss George Lucas. And George Lucas really trusted his people. You're like, George, I have this idea. And George Lucas would say, does it sound good? And he's the sound guy. Did it sound good? And Matt Wood's like, yeah, I think so. He's like, okay. And he would just like let all this, like he really trusted. And during, and then Lucasfilm released the ILM story, the documentary. And like, they're just talking about how rebellious Lucasfilm is and the put boundary pushing. And George Lucas, I love George Lucas because he had a middle finger up at society all the time. Like, I love it. And I missed that in Star Wars because I feel that was always in, in Star Wars, a little bit of like a F you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the sequel trilogy came out, and I love the sequel trilogy, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't, for me, really push Star Wars forward. It tells a really great Star Wars story. The characters are amazing, and like Rey and Kylo are really super fantastic characters. Finn was almost a super fantastic character, but he just got kind of lost in the sauce, unfortunately. But I don't really feel the sequel trilogy challenged anything. It was a very safe Star Wars.
Well, they were wrapping it up, though.
I think Disney was a lot more influential on the sequel trilogy. I feel like there was stories there and thing. And when you go through Phil Sostek's like art books and you see some of the concept sketches and some of the stories in there, it was going to be a very different, I feel like it was going to be a very different story, and stuff started to just be taken out. And again, I have no factual basis. I'm just listening and trying to read the room. You know what? As queer people, we can read the room, especially as a queer person who came out in the 90s and had to go to bad parts of downtown to get to a gay bar and to get to things. Cause like, we were kept relegated to the shadows. We never had a nice part of town to be in. You learn to read the room to be safe.
Yeah.
And so I would like to think I'm very good at reading the room. You know what I mean? As a person. And I feel Andor has come out. It is a show about a rebellion. You hear Marva's her name in the trailer. This is what a reckoning sounds like. And oh my God, that scene. Edge of your seat, folks. Edge of your seat. And I'm like, you know what? And I have said this. I said this a few months ago. We did an episode on After Dark. I think this is Lucasfilm saying fuck you to Disney.
Ooh.
I really, really, I think this is art imitating life so much. I think Lucasfilm was like, we are motherfucking Lucasfilm. And we are going to start doing it. I think, you know what? I used to always say KK in her shoulder pads, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think boss bitch KK has taken the pads out of the shoulders and put them on her fists. She's ready to box.
I love it. Love it.
Like I feel so much that this show is challenging everything. And it is like the reason I said flipping a boardroom table, I feel like the sequel trilogy was made in a boardroom. And KK walked in there, flipped the boardroom table over, and said, fuck you, Bob Chapek. I am going to make the stories that Star Wars need to be and fucking come at me. But you're a weak little man, and I'm Kathleen fucking Kennedy, and get the fuck out of my way. And that's what I think this show is doing. And I really, really, really think Star Wars is never going to be the same. I think we are back. I think from the purposeful plotting and story of the ILM story documentary series right before this and everything that it was saying, and now this is the first Star Wars we get outside of that, I think is a very telling thing. And I just think it's like, we're not fucking playing anymore. Sit the fuck down. And we will make the money, and you're just going to shut up. That's what I think is happening.
You go spend it.
Mm-hmm. I really, again, I have no facts, but I think Andor is art imitating real life. I really do. And I think it's going to make me love it forever, but Star Wars will never be the same. This show literally changes what Star Wars can be, like hands down, in the first three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Because I am a lifer in Star Wars, and I have never been challenged like this as a Star Wars that's a Star Wars fan.
Oh, good.
And I'm very
I'm excited.
And it's beautiful. The show is beautiful.
Beautiful.
The music. This is what I like. Mwah. We're not getting a lot of orchestral music in shows. We're getting a lot of like synths and different kind of music for the shows. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine when the movies come back, we're going to get a lot like an orchestral score. And I like that that's kind of the thing that's separating them, because honestly, the special effects in all these TV shows, I think, are better than the special effects we got in the movies. Like, they just look so good. Mm-hmm. And this show is all set on location. You're about to listen to Adria speak to someone, asked a great question about the sets, and apparently the city, Felix, I think, where everything is taking place so far.
Okay.
Where she works and everything, and Cassian's home right now, she said, was like a 7-city block set.
Wow.
And it's all outside. If it was raining in London, it was raining in Felix or Felix, however you say the city's name.
Wow.
Like she was saying, as an actor, like they would say, go run. And they're like, and she was like, but where do you want me to run? Wherever you want. The camera will follow you.
Wow.
And like, you feel it in the show. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one thing that we've been kind of, I've been joking around with Gustavo from Triad of the Force. Go listen to Triad of the Force. But we keep laughing about some of the running scenes in like The Mandalorian, and when little Leia's running in the forest in Obi-Wan, like they're all in the volume and it feels kind of small because it feels like they can't run very far. Mm-hmm. And they just keep cutting to make it look, and it keeps feeling really awkward. And like season one of The Mandalorian, I think the volume is a lot bigger now than it was then. Like when they're coming down the ramp, they all just have to stop in these really awkward spots. It feels very awkward, but I think it's just the limitations of the volume. And so now I have these big sets there, so there are no limitations, but it looks so good. I mean, I feel very much that Rogue One is the most beautiful looking Star Wars of any of the Star Wars. And this show is hands down easily the most beautiful looking Star Wars show we've had. It's amazing.
Awesome.
So I can't wait for you to see episode 3 pop.
I look and forward episode to it. 4. I look forward to it.
So we will do that next week. Tom and I will talk about episodes 1-3. I really don't want to talk about episodes that are not out yet. So if you are interested in spoiling it, maybe I'll have a spoiler section in our Discord so you can join Patreon. I'll ask the patrons. And if they want to read there, I can talk about stuff that episode 4 that isn't out yet. Because I need to have that conversation anyways, how we're going to talk about these things. But I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to be spoiled. I'm not gonna do that here. But I'm very excited for you all to listen to this little roundtable. It's a little quick 15 minutes. I did this right after I landed in L.A. Like, talk about how crazy it is. I'm going to L.A. I'm going to red carpet. And then I have an interview. Just to
set this up, it was after losing the pants before buying the new outfit.
It really was. It was a lot. It was a lot. And yeah, it was great though. I let me tell you, I feel very Hollywood for a weekend.
It was awesome. Like, oh God, I love it.
I'm like a real entertainment. What's the word I want to use? Like a reporter, a journalist. Yeah, I'm a journalist, Brian Barry.
For TMZ or no, ET?
With PM.
PM.
Pink Milk. Yeah, I'm Brian from PM. Oh. Hello. That's what it was. Also, everyone, if you're curious, if you've been following Twitter, the pink mustache loved LA, loved Hollywood so much, the stash had to stay in the sink of the hotel.
Bye-bye.
I did love that pink mustache. All right. So where can people find us, Tom?
Well, at our email address, which is surfingpinkmilk@gmail.com.
Definitely not going to forget spaces. That anymore. Yeah. Find us on Spaces. Follow me and the show on Twitter, Instagram, sometimes TikTok at Serving Pink Milk. And if you don't already, make sure you subscribe to YouTube. Join us every Friday night live at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time for Pink Milk After Dark, where we take much deeper dives into Star Wars and get really, really thirsty. Until next week, everyone, drink up.
Drink up.
Stay tuned for an amazing roundtable. And then we're going to be out, bitches. We're going to be out.
Hello, I'm Brian from Pink Milk. How are you?
Hi, I'm Brian. Thank you.
That's great. Your character is both the boss and the leader, yet compassionate and loyal. Andor, like Rogue One, is a story of rebellion and leading an uprising against an antagonistic government. A lot of our listeners are queer, and we here in the United States are facing a government that is after our rights yet again. Is there anything you learned from your character about standing up against a government?
Yes, I think bravery, whether you are part of a movement or whether you are not specifically the one that's being an attack. And I think Bix kind of does that, and it's at her own detriment. You know, I think I learned the definition of bravery through playing this character, which is you put someone else's needs in front of you and you defend that and you do whatever it is that you have to do, even if you know that you'll get some backlash or that other people are not going to like you or whatever that may be. You understand that it's for greater good. And sometimes it could be to our own detriment, right? I feel that very much as a woman of color, you know. I feel like we are also kind of an endangered species in a way. And I feel like we're constantly being attacked. And I've seen some incredible people that are not Latin American women stand up for us. And that makes a big difference. And that is what I think and consider bravery. And it's something that I learned from Bix and even from the show itself. You know, everyone is, they're at a cusp of a revolution. Oppression is so present. You know, it's so present. You could feel it in the air. You can taste it. It's this thing that is so part of their lives. And there's a big question mark, you know, do you join a movement? Are you part of it? Do you take a step back? Are you brave enough to make a difference? Do you not make a difference? What is your role? And I think in society right now, we're all finding our roles within so many different things that are going on that are so unfair and unequal and unfair. And I said unfair, but I feel like I should say unfair 15 more times. So that's a big question. Do you stand up? Do you not? And I think everyone's moral compass is questioned when oppression comes in. You're like, wait, is it my turn to speak? Is it my turn to fight? Where do I stand? And I think it's what every character is going through in this show. And it's also what we're going through right now, right? You're like, you have all these questions and you want to fight and you don't know how, and you almost feel like you're beaten down because it's so much bigger than us. And that's kind of the complexity of this show. And it mirrors a lot of sort of what we're unfortunately kind of going through.
Hi, we're George and Josh with Star Wars Holocron. It's really nice to meet you and speak with you. 2022 has been such a huge year for you in that you've joined the Marvel Universe with Morbius, and now you're joining this other huge franchise with Andor. I'm wondering if you could compare and contrast the two experiences of working on that project compared to Andor, and just generally what it's been like to join these two huge fandoms.
You know, I have very different experiences, and I'll tell you why. Because I shot Morbius, you know, years ago. And we shot in studio and we shot a little bit outside of studio. And in comparison to Andor, you know, when I first walked onto set, I was not expecting what I saw. It was a set of, and I kid you not, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe I'm underselling it, but it was 7 city blocks, like the set. It was outdoors. It was never indoors. If it rained in London, it rained in Ferrix. And we had to sort of move around the elements. And I had the amazing gift to be able to immerse myself in this city. It felt like I was there. I was part of it. You know, Ferrix existed. It was a real city. And it's so crazy to even talk about it because I really lived there for months. So I kind of got the gift to imagine like where Bix goes for a drink after work. Where does she go to a restaurant? You know, and I did. I walked into the restaurants and I would open drawers and there was things in them, and everything was more Star Wars-y than another. The props were just amazing. So it was easier to sort of get myself into the world. I think it was shocking at first. You're like, oh, this is way bigger than I thought. What did I get myself into? God, how do I get out of it? It was kind of scary. And then the more I was in Fairx, I was like, oh, this is where Bix belongs. This is where I am from. So it was easier and more immersive, I think, than for example, my role in Morbius. Very two different scales, obviously. And then, you know, the fans, I got to meet, you know, the Marvel fans, which some of them are kind of intertwined, and I could feel the excitement. And then, you know, I went off and did a movie and kind of heard nothing about, I had no Wi-Fi in Mérida in Mexico. I heard nothing about anything. Maybe that was a good thing. and then, you know, I do D23 where I stand on stage and there's 7,000 people and I finally get to put a face of, to the reason why I did the show to begin with. You never get to experience that as an actor. You know, we're incredibly shy. We live in like our little bubble. We act in this tiny little thing. We're not meant to be in front of 7,000 people, you know? So that I think is an experience that only happens when you're working with Disney or when you're working with Star Wars. And it's a day I will never forget. I almost felt like, I felt like a musician. It was so nerve-wracking, but then seeing faces and seeing the excitement sort of grounded me was like, oh my God, people like it. Okay. I'm good.
So nice to meet you.
Hi.
Welcome to Star Wars. I'm James from Jedi News. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about your experience about walking onto the set for the first time, walking onto Fairx for the first time. You've spoken a lot about that. So I wanted to know what about Star Wars did you know coming into this project? And what did you expect to see when you walked on set?
I was a big fan from before. I've always loved Star Wars. I think I watched them a little too young and I sort of rewatched a lot of it before joining the show and you know, I was like, oh wow, I missed a lot of it. and you know, I think reading the scripts and Tony is so smart when it comes, I think in Marvel and in Star Wars, everything's so secretive and you kind of don't know anything about any, you don't get a script, you get an outline, you get like little glimpses. And Tony was like, no, I don't do things like that. I think knowledge is power. And even before I got the role, he was like, okay, so this is what your character is going to go through all in season one. And I was like, that is fascinating. Thank you. Because then I can start imagining and start getting to work. And he also does this thing where everything's, you know, he's like, yeah, Fairx. It's like, you know, it's pretty big. The set is big. And so I'm imagining, you know, like a studio set. I can never imagine a city that just doesn't cross my mind. I've never seen it. I've never been in it. Like it's beyond me. So the first day of rehearsal that we rehearsed the opening scene where you first get introduced to Bix, I remember walking in and I was in shock. I couldn't even do the scene. I was like, I need like a couple minutes. Like, what are we? So I have my whole cell yard. Like it was my office, then my apartment, then the whole yard. It was filmable 360. You know, there was times where they were like, run. And I go, where? Wherever you want. The camera will follow. Cause it was all I was the owner of my destiny kind of. And as an actor, you don't really get that as much because so many things are like, wait, the green screen ends there or this ends here. And it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. I had complete freedom. Which I think the first day was a rehearsal was so scary, was so nerve wracking because I had never seen anything like that. And it kind of hit home. I was like, holy shit, I'm in Star Wars. Oh man. You know, it's like this, you get this like realization and you know that, and you're going to be part of history. You know, it's so much more than just being in any other show or movie. You're part of cinematic history the second you're in a Star Wars. So that's when it hit me. I hadn't thought about it before. I should have. I didn't. And then Diego, you know, Diego's already been in Star Wars and has played this character. So he kind of was like, it's good. It's okay. What you're going through is normal. And then, you know, the next day it was time to shoot and it was like, all right, now I'm going to embrace this instead of being scared or, you know, nervous about it. It's time for me to be like, this is my town. And that was pretty cool.
Thank you. Hi, Audra. I'm Brandon from Talking Bay 94. Yes. So glad to talk to you. I'd be interested to know just what drew you to this role, and did you find inspiration from any characters that had come before Bix in Star Wars or otherwise while you were preparing?
Well, I think Toni Gilroy was my first. I didn't know anything about Bix. I didn't even know her name. So I think Toni was my first yes, if he's writing this, this is going to be cool. It's going to be complex and interesting and different. And he's going to break boundaries and it's going to be truthful and grounded, which it is. And I think when I read it for the first time, I was fascinated with Bix's journey, which I wish we were speaking months from now so I can actually dive into it a little bit more. But even in the first three episodes, you know, she goes through a whole, you meet someone very different in episode three. And I think her bravery, like I had mentioned before, was something that drew me into her, and exploring that and defining that for myself as well was super interesting. And I like the fact that she's not tough, that she's strong, and that she's, you know, she's not trying to mimic a man. She's just, you know, she's cool like that. She's a boss and runs her sow yard and is incredibly stable until Cassian comes into her life. And it's kind of this habit that you can, the second you meet them, you're like, oh, she's pissed that he's here, but also kind of happy. And so that dynamic was, I was like, oh, I'm dying to play that, especially with Diego, who had already explored, you know, explored this character. So that was really interesting and just fun. And as the show keeps going, more and more things, you'll be able to tell really why I really wanted to play this part. And for inspiration, you know, the closer I draw from, the more it works for me. That's just me and I'm weird. I can't draw from existing characters. I can't, because I don't, you know, I feel like I'll end up mimicking them or I want to sit down and have dinner with them and I can't because it's a character and that would be crazy. So I drew a lot from my grandmother, actually. She's Guatemalan and a fierce, fierce woman. She was an immigrant and crossed the border and started making toys for little kids while her kids were being tended by someone else just so she can pay her cousin's debt. It wasn't even her own debt. And I'm like, that's Bix. That's her. That's exactly what Bix would do. And it's exactly what Bix does with Cassian, you know, puts him first in ways and puts a lot of other things first, because she understands her placement in history. And she was a mean bargainer. I would never want to be on the other side of my grandmother's bargaining. I'm like, you're stealing. This is you're not even negotiating at this point. You're stealing. And I think that's what Bix does. And I think so, that's why people respect her. People don't want to mess with Bix. Even though she's incredibly approachable and kind, she's still, you know, she has a side to her that is really strong. I'm like, I wouldn't want to mess with her.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so nice talking to you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.